This morning, we are thinking about saints. Good morning, St. Alan.
Good morning, St. Linwen.
Good morning, all you saints. Let us worship God as we sing our first hymn, number 745, for all the saints who from their labours rest.
Thank you.
We're going to read a psalm together. It's Psalm 8. It's 801 at the back of the Singing the Faith hymn book. So Psalm 8, if you would respond to the lines in heavy black type. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes.
Silence the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established.
What are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them?
Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honour.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field,
the
birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Father God, creator of the wheeling spheres throughout space, we stand in awe before the outstanding works of your hands, and in even greater awe before your being, revealed and hidden. We praise you that you chose us out of all the abounding life you brought into being, asking us to share in the managing of your world, not separating us off from the rest of the world, but calling us to be separated off for you in all its ongoing life, and risking giving us free choice to follow or reject your way. God the Son, of one mind with the Father, who, in the face of our failure to live up to our calling, chose to lay aside the glory of the Godhead to become one with us, sharing our human lot. We marvel at such self-giving love, that at the last you, who could have summoned 12 legions of angels to rescue you, drank the cup of humiliation and death, presenting to the Father a humanity which could overcome the world and which gives us hope. With such a committed human life before us, we learn to affirm God's goodness at the heart of humanity, planted more deeply than all that is wrong. God, the Holy Spirit, we bless you that the life of Jesus Christ is not given to show up our weakness and failures, but to remedy them, to be life-giving for the human race. For you are the one who communicates to us Christ's mind, who energizes us with his being, offering to live in us, who bestows forgiveness to restore to us our true selves when we have failed and fallen from grace, affirming us anew as friends and followers. Through you, We are called to be saints, made so by grace, confirmed and enlarged in faith through all the ups and downs of life we experience. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we adore and bless you, who bless us with such a calling and such a heritage. Amen. And the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we now turn to our hymn books again for hymn number 690, The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Alan, what is All Saints Day all about?
Well, All Saints is sometimes called All Hallows Day, and it's a day when Christians remember and celebrate all the saints from Christian history, both those we know well and those who are unknown. And in Western Christianity, All Saints' Day is celebrated on the 1st of November each year by the Roman Catholic Church, by the Methodist Church, by the Lutheran Church, and many other Protestant denominations. And in our Methodist tradition, All Saints' Day relates to giving God grateful thanks for the lives of the saints, remembering those, as I say, who were well known and those who were little known. And additionally, certain individuals throughout Christian history are remembered. Of course, the apostles, people like Peter and Andrew, James and John, but also people like John and Charles Wesley, as people who have guided us into the faith that we hold. And so, Lynn, when we're thinking about All Saints' Day, what's the connection between Halloween and All Saints' Day?
Well, you do wonder, don't you? I don't know how many of you saw loads and loads of children all dressed in black, looking very spooky, on Thursday evening. There were lots of them around my street, and in one front garden there was a sheet thrown over a huge bush that looked quite scary as you walked up the road, looked like a ghost, and lots of spiders and that sort of thing. And for a lot of people it's seen as harmless fun. For other people, and a lot of churches now, have something called a light party. And my grandchildren went to a light party to show that actually it's the light of God we're looking for, not the darkness. But there's a lot of superstition associated with Halloween. And it seems that it used to be a Gaelic festival called Samhain, which notified the end of summer. So, an awful lot of superstition, though. How do some people get made into saints?
Well, in some of our churches, particularly the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church, there is a process by which certain individuals can be made into saints. And the process is called canonization, which simply means that their names are added to a list. Their names are added to the canon or list of saints. And in the Roman Catholic Church, it's quite a lengthy procedure. And for some people, it takes hundreds of years before they are canonized. It's supposed to take at least 5 years. But in the case of certain individuals recently, that process has been speeded up. I'm thinking particularly about John Paul II. Pope John Paul II was made a saint very quickly after his death. But normally, you have to wait at least 5 years. First of all, you become what is called a servant of God. Then there has to be proof of your heroic virtues. Then you have to have certain miracles attached to your name, and finally you are canonized. Your name is added to the list. And as you've probably read fairly recently, an Englishman was added to that list. John Henry Newman became perhaps the latest saint in the canon of Roman Catholic saints. But did you know, Lynn, that there is a church in Guildford which is called All Saints Church?
Mm-hmm. It's in Onslow Village in Guildford, and the vicar there is the wife of the Bishop of Guildford. So he actually lives in the, I'm not sure if it's called a manse or a rectory probably, is it?
No, I think it's a palace.
A palace. in that area. Yeah. And now, you told me some time ago about this village of saints.
Indeed. You might have heard about the village of saints. It's not too far away from here, although it's not in Surrey. But it's in northeast Hampshire, not far from Alton. And it's a village called Froyle. And Froyle is known as a village of saints. And it's called that not because the people there are particularly good or particularly holy, but because at one time the local lord of the manor, who was very, very much a high churchman, decided to bring lots of statues from all over the world into the village. And so if you go into the village of Froyle today and you walk down the main village street and you look at the houses, you will find in all sorts of nooks and crannies statues of the saints. I think there are about 18 of them altogether. So if you want to have a day out and go down to northeast Hampshire and to the village of Froyle, the village of saints. And there is an island of saints as well, as you know, Lynn.
Yes, being Welsh, of course. I think you're referring to Bardsey Island, aren't
yes.
you? Bardsey Island, which the Welsh name for Bardsey Island is Ynys Enlli, and it's referred to as the island of 20,000 saints. It's only a small island, so they must be a bit all squashed up together there. But sometimes it's called the Island of the Bards as well. And the island has been an important religious site since St. Cadfan built a monastery there in 516. The spirituality and the sacredness of the island and its relative remoteness and its legendary claim to be the burial site of King Arthur have given it a special place in the cultural life of Wales, attracting artists, writers and musicians to its shores. And it does, Bardsey Island marks the end point of the North Wales Pilgrim's Way. What's the best definition of a saint that you've ever come across?
When we think about saints, we often see saints or figures of saints on the walls of churches and cathedrals. If you go to Westminster Abbey, for example, and you look over the top of the west door of Westminster Abbey, you will see 10 figures. And they are the figures of 10 martyr saints from the 20th century. One of the interesting things is that there were more Christian martyrs in the 20th century than in any other century of history. And these 10 figures represent some of those martyrs. People like Martin Luther King and Oscar Romero and the Grand Duchess Elizabeth of Russia, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and so on. The other place where we sometimes see saints are in stained glass windows. And if you look at stained glass windows from the outside, you can't see them. But if you go inside the church or the cathedral, the light comes through the windows and you can see the saints. And I think that perhaps that is the best definition of a saint. A saint is someone through whom the light of Jesus Christ, shines through. In his letters to the various churches, Paul often refers to the saints in Corinth or Rome or somewhere else. So what do you think that's all about, Lynn?
Well, he's writing a letter to those that he feels have been sanctified because of their knowledge of Christ. And in Jesus, as we believe in Jesus, we are called to be saints too. So you don't have to die to be a saint. I've got a favourite saint.
Okay.
And my favourite saint is Saint Margaret. Now, I was very pleased when I was appointed as head teacher of Saint Margaret's School in Aberdeen. And Saint Margaret's School, at the school, every single child in the school knew all about Saint Margaret. And on my desk, in my office, I found this statue. And this is a statue of Saint Margaret, Saint Margaret, the Queen of Scotland. And in her hand, in one hand, she's holding the Bible, and she's smiling down at a little girl and holding her hand in the other hand. And I felt that this was a word to me of how I should behave as the head teacher of that school, that I had a responsibility to share the love of God with all the girls in my care and to look after them and to be friendly with them. And when I retired from the school, the staff asked me what I'd like, and I said, well, actually, I'd like to take that statue with me. They said, oh, they said you couldn't possibly take it away. That's been in the office for years and years. But they said, we'll get another one made for you. Do come and have a look at it afterwards, but if you pick it up, be careful, because as you can see, it's very heavy. But Queen Margaret was quite a character. She was born in Hungary in exile, came to England in 1057, and married Malcolm III, who was a bit uncouth, whereas Queen Margaret was a very proper lady, of strong, pure, and noble character. And before she ate every day, she would make sure that she had fed the orphans and the poor before she would take anything at all to eat herself. She is quite obviously very popular and very famous in Scotland, and words like towns like Queen's Ferry, for example, it was Saint Margaret who was responsible for providing a ferry for the pilgrims to be able to come into Scotland. She died in Edinburgh Castle a few days after receiving the news of the death of her husband. She left a lot of memories. She spent much of her time in prayer, in devotional reading, and in ecclesiastical embroidery. And Malcolm, who couldn't read, he admired her piety so much that he had her little books that she made decorated in gold and silver. And there is one of those in the Bodleian Library. So Margaret is my favourite saint. And whose is yours, Alan?
Well, I think mine is St. David, partly because I studied at St. David's University College in Wales. And David was a Welshman, unlike the patron saint of some other countries who come from all over the world. David was a native of Wales. And apart from being the patron saint of Wales, he's also the patron saint of poets and, I believe, of vegetarians. But I like him because he told his people to do the little things. So often we think that we have to do some great thing, that we have to be involved in some great project. And we think that that is why some people become saints. But remember the little things, said David, the simple things, the things that don't really perhaps cost you very much, but mean a lot, the particular word of kindness, a particular gesture. You might know the story of Desmond Tutu, whose life was changed simply because as a little boy, when he was walking down the street with his mother, a white man, an English priest, raised his hat to Desmond Tutu's mother. And that was unheard of, that a white man should raise his hat to a black lady. And Desmond Tutu never forgot that. And that was one of the reasons he became a priest in the Anglican Church and eventually an archbishop. So remember, says David, remember the little things.
And could we now have the gospel reading, please?
Our gospel reading today is from Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say things, all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Thanks be to God."
Well, I think we're all familiar with those words, words which come right at the beginning of the teaching of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, a body of teaching which we usually call the Sermon on the Mount. And they're blessings which commend certain characteristics like peacemaking or showing mercy or being pure in heart. And it's sometimes suggested that they are the characteristics Jesus expects to find in his disciples. A few years ago, on a visit to Sweden, Pope Francis said that the best description of the saints is found in the Beatitudes. In fact, he said that the Beatitudes are the identity card of the saints. And I like that. The Beatitudes are the identity card of the saints. And since, as we have heard already, all members of the church are saints, the saints in Corinth, the saints in Rome, the saints in Knaphill, then the Beatitudes should be our identity cards as well. We sometimes talk about the 8 Beatitudes, but actually there are 9 altogether. And the Beatitude right in the very center of those 9 Beatitudes, the 5th Beatitude, says, "Blessed are the merciful." And that is, blessed are those who forgive. Blessed are those who show kindness. Blessed are those who are tolerant. Right at the heart of the Christian faith is this idea of forgiveness. Something Christ showed even as he hung on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And if there's someone that you feel that you cannot forgive, if there's somebody who has said something to you or done something to you which you feel is absolutely unforgivable, that something in your heart of hearts you really cannot forgive, then ask God to forgive them for you. Because right at the very heart of our faith is this idea of forgiveness. And going back to Pope Francis in Sweden, he offered a new list of Beatitudes for modern Christians. And the first one was this: "Blessed are those who remain faithful while enduring evils inflicted on them by others and forgive them from their hearts." And the others he suggested were: "Blessed are those who look into the eyes of the abandoned and marginalized and show them their closeness. Blessed are those who see God in every person and strive to make others also discover him. Blessed are those who protect and care for our common home. Blessed are those who renounce their own comfort in order to help others. Blessed are those who pray and work for full communion between Christians." And so, for Christ's sake, let us look at those Beatitudes. Let us use them as our identity cards as we seek to follow Christ in our modern world. Amen. And so we sing a new hymn, but it's sung to a tune which we know, the tune, "How Great Thou Art." Differently gifted, in one band united, as in a body subject to the head.
alive. Saints are not marked out as outstanding spiritual achievers, though some are found among their number. God chooses the most unlikely, the most unprepossessing specimens of humanity to be saints. Biblically, they are simply a company of ordinary people God can depend on and work with to achieve desired goals. Last month, we heard of a new saint, Cardinal Newman, and in his homily, the Pope quoted Cardinal Newman's claim that the Christian has a deep, silent, hidden peace which the world doesn't see. The Christian is cheerful, easy, kind, gentle, courteous, candid, unassuming, and has no pretense. He added, "Let us ask to be like that, kindly lights amid the encircling gloom." The Hebrew and Aramaic words for holy ones do not have a meaning denoting spiritual specialists. They indicate simply people separated off for a purpose. They're not separated off from the run-of-the-mill humanity or from the world God so loved. They're separated off among the ranks of humanity for God in the world. Sanctification, the process of making holy, is hammered out in the white heat of human experience. It's both a gift conferred when God calls and people answer, and also the enlarging and maturing of that gift. As believers have their faith honed into effectiveness in the rough and tumble of life. Saints are a ragtag and bobtail army of those who look to God and fight alongside God to transform the world's life to fulfill God's creative intention for it. They may be prone to fail and to fall, but they take hold of the grace of forgiveness and the promise of reinstatement. They can pick themselves up, dust themselves down, and soldier on. Saints are not church appointed, but spirit anointed. Their lives may be prominent or quite obscure. They need not fit in with ecclesiastical models. They need not even belong to a church. They are kingdom people, intent on Jesus Christ's will that the whole world be transformed in justice, truth, and peace. In a moment, we've got another new hymn for you. And the words of the hymn at the beginning are, "The saints of God are down our street." They will be found both inside and outside the visible company of the faithful. Jesus said of supposed outsiders, Many will come from east and west and will eat with Abram and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In the parable of the Last Judgment, it is not word confession that counts. It's not even recognition of Jesus Christ. Confession of faith is expressed in self-giving and service to meet human need. Those who, at the last, will be accepted, will live in peace and joy. While we rejoice and join with saints on earth, we must also remember that it is Jesus Christ alone who, at the end, can recognize his own. We need to be open and teachable, faced with all kinds of human ways of addressing and managing life. Where would we be without those who have gone before us? They carved out paths for us to follow. They endured, as Jesus did, mocking, torture, death, keeping faith by the power of the Spirit, restored through the gift of forgiveness when they slipped, so that, renewed, they could continue to proclaim God's word and serve. Among them are those who are specially precious to us. We still love them. We miss them. And we long to be with them again once we have given back over days and years whatever is looked for in the earthly life entrusted to us. Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever. Saints of God are down our street.
George has a notice that he would like to come and give us himself.
Don't worry, it's only a short one. First of all, I humbly thank God for answering my prayer through Jesus Christ, who said to us, ask God in my name. And I believe now even more so than any other time in my life. My heartfelt thanks to all Napville Methodist Church congregation for your prayer and donations to the fund Reverend Faulkner started. Also thanks to former KMC members who are all over UK and abroad, and they were very kind to me. Thank you to Sheila and John Maynard the day I was breaking up here during our service for their beautiful expression of love and support. Sheila came and delivered a card to my house, according to my wife. I also admit that it was our Reverend David Faulkner, with advice from Robin Spice, that I also went to Citizen Advice to seek on this interest of mine in becoming the citizen of Great Britain, or UK as it's called now. Many of my former nursing students and my colleagues and lady who sold me olives in a supermarket down the road also contributed, which was quite a thing. Local media and radio in Surrey were at it, and Home Office said to me, they are keep ringing us, please. So praying and support from you, all of you, who are here and who are not here today, and everybody else around the world and in UK, I thank you from the core of my heart. It was a moment I thought I'll never get it, though I was qualified to apply for naturalization on my fifth year in UK. I was a student nurse in St. Peter's, then in Brookwood. But I delayed because my sister told me, mother is alive, meaning wait. She died in 88 as a Gorkha midwife nurse. And then I waited for sentimental reason until the Nepalese embassy said, no, no passport, because you are not a citizen of Nepal, you haven't got the citizenship. Ah, I thought, oh, well, a patient used to ask me, what am I? I used to say, part-time British, I'm going to be full-time. So thank you for your prayers. And I say today, of all the days giving me this opportunity on saints, we are talking about saints. Thank you, because I just learned from the Reverend here that we are all saints. Thank you.
In thankfulness, we all now bring our gifts to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us all to be your saints. And we thank you for the way that you work among us, encouraging us. We bring these gifts in gratitude for all that you give to us and all that you mean to us. And we pray that they may be used for your glory in this church and circuit. Amen. And we now come to our prayers of intercession. There is a response, and the prayers are going to be on the screen. And these are based on the Beatitudes. Let us pray. Lord, we remember before you those who are struggling in life and feel they haven't got enough strength inside them to cope. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We remember before you those who have lost someone very special to them and are wandering along the dark valley of bereavement. And we think especially today of those victims of trafficking who froze to death. Be with them and their loved ones. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We remember before you those who deliberately choose not to push their way through life, treading on other people, but try to live in a gentler, more generous way. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We remember before you those who give their time and effort to important causes, to fight against hunger, torture, or the exploitation of our planet. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We remember before you those who turn their back on vengeance and bitterness, and so try to stop the cycle of destruction in our world by showing the alternative way of Jesus. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We remember before you the people who inspire us to live better lives, those who have a love and a joy in them which makes us ashamed and determined to do better. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We remember before you those who, both on the world stage and in ordinary living, give themselves to the task of making peace a reality. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. We remember before you those who refuse to compromise on the truth and are prepared to pay the price. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are we all, when people insult us and falsely say all kinds of things about us because of Jesus Christ. Let us even rejoice and be glad, because great is our reward in heaven. Amen. And we now turn to hymn number 748 in hymns in Singing the Faith. Saviour, if of Zion's city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Glorious things of thee are spoken.
Thank you.
bless you and keep you, saints in Knapp Hill. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain amongst you today and always. Amen.
Amen.